warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 63 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
It's time for the Miller's Edge with four-time SEC champion and two-time national champion Christian Miller.
Once again with Christian Miller taking him down.
Here is college football playoff national champion Christian Miller on Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC.
Top 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store. America's Arch Support Experts. Hope you guys are doing great, man. Hope you guys are ready to roll. Another day closer to this playoff matchup against Oklahoma. The Tide will travel today to Norman, getting ready to take on the Oklahoma Sooners tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central Time kick. So make sure you guys stay locked in and loaded right here on the Miller's Edge and all the other shows. We continue to get you guys ready for this matchup. We'll talk about it some more. We've been talking about it all week, but today we'll do it even further. 11:30, we've got Rodney Anderson, former Oklahoma running back. He'll be joining us on the show at 11:30, discussing this matchup, get his thoughts, kind of where things are at over on that side of things. Again, if you guys missed last time we had Rodney join the show, he joined us last time we played Oklahoma. He does great work with their collective right now. But again, he's a former running back. I want to say we finished in the same year, both in 2018. But now he works with their collective, so he's close to the program, has a lot of good info over there. And he'll be able to fill us in on what the vibe is right now in Norman as they get ready to take Alabama on back in Norman as they did just a year ago. We know how that one went, and this most recent one. Hopefully Alabama can find the answer this time around as it is a playoff game, right? Winner goes on to play in the Rose Bowl against Indiana, and the loser, well, I just found this out, Chase. I mean, the losers don't even, you know, there's no bowl game for those guys. I mean, if you lose the first round playoff matchup, man, that's it. Unfortunately, your season's done. No bowl game or anything. So that's what's on the line, is these guys are well aware. They've talked about it, and we're going to keep talking about it. Got some more press conference stuff to dive into as well. Don't forget, we got to catch up on a number of things. We'll hopefully have some time to do that. We listened to a lot of, you know, cut-ups from offensive coordinator Ryan Grubb yesterday. Didn't listen to a whole bunch of Kalen DeBoer just yet, but I do know he did a whole, I guess it was his typical Wednesday deal. Maybe he did a press conference again yesterday, so maybe we'll have some time to let that run to get his thoughts as this matchup gets further. I know he's probably had some injury updates and other things along those lines we can talk about. And speaking of him and talking about him, well, me and Chase were just talking about this not long ago. They continue to talk about Kalen DeBoer in the national media, not so much like we're doing, you know, in terms of this matchup and what needs to be done on the football field between those lines to advance in the playoffs. But get this, guys, you would never guess. People still believe that Kalen DeBoer could end up elsewhere. So I know you guys are sick of the conversation. We don't have to talk about it too much. Don't worry. But I figure we'll at least bring it up just because, I mean, I've saw – at this point, I have seen, several clips just from today, Chase. One might have been from yesterday, but I mean, from different networks too. At first, I was like, okay, maybe it's a network thing. But then when I realized, I mean, I've seen CBS, I've seen ESPN, people still are clinging on to hope, Chase. If you're on the outside, Michigan fans or whoever, that he could be the next head coach at the University of Michigan. That comes after he released a statement. I can't remember if it was like technically a joint statement or what, but I mean, he released a statement. Greg Byrne, you know, stamped it as well via social media. He came on to the podium this, what was it, Monday when he originally spoke to the media for the first time since, you know, all those things were flying around the week prior. He was asked not once, Chase, but twice. He was asked two times. Well, the first question that started off, right? They asked, will he be the head coach of the University of Alabama next year? I guess, you know, he had a lot of, there's a lot to his answer, right? He was talking about, you know, we enjoyed here. We anticipate being here. We have all the support. But I guess he didn't give it. That still wasn't enough, right? Chase said all the details, but I guess he didn't give them what they exactly wanted, because the follow-up was yes or no, pretty much. Will you be hearing? And he said yes. Even with all that, there's still some speculation. So I'll play the clips, because they're short clips. I'll play those here in a second just so you guys can hear what I'm talking about. I promise I'm not making it up just to talk about it. I mean, trust me, I'd much rather be jumping along into the Oklahoma talk, which we're going to do at definitely 11:30, plus we'll have Slade Bolden at the top of the hour again. But I'm just curious. I just want you guys to hear what these other people are saying. And just, is it at this point? I just want to get y'all's thoughts. I mean, is it just desperation on other people's end? I mean, we understand he's a good football coach. I mean, people are going to definitely want to hire the guy. But I mean, like at this point, I mean, the guy said no. And I know in the past we've seen situations where coaches say, oh, I'm not going anywhere, this and that. But I mean, to me, I mean, I just don't buy him leaving this soon. I just don't. So I don't know. But we'll talk about that. And plenty more. 205-342-9904 is the number to the phone lines. We'd love to get you guys on here. Again, we got a guest at 11:30 and Ronnie Anderson, 12, Slade Bolden. So if you guys want to hang on until second hour, might be best. That way you guys aren't just hanging on the phone lines. But don't forget, you always can download that Tide 100.9 app completely free. Leave your questions, comments, and concerns right there and voice messages, and listen to all the shows wherever you're at. Plus, you can always come hang out with us. Check us out right here on YouTube and Facebook on our live stream where we stream the show, do the show. You guys can watch all the clips. The tape that we put on the screen, we'll definitely probably watch some tape later on when Slade's on here as well. So if you guys want to do that, take part in that, interact in the chat with everybody else, come hang out with us at the Miller's Edge on YouTube, at Tide 100.9 on Facebook. You guys can check us out on those platforms as we do the show. Got to remind you about our friends over at the Good Feet Store while I got you here as well. Try before you buy, nothing to lose. Make sure you guys check them out. Foot pain, knee pain, back pain, hip pain, you name it, they address it. They take care of it with proven arch supports. 4 weeks, man. 4 weeks, these things will clear up that pain. So make sure you guys give them a try. I mean, literally, you can go walk in there, test them out. They'll show you your arch impressions. And it's really cool, right? You'll see, you know, where you might be lacking with your arch. You might have too much of an arch, not enough. You might be a little more flat-footed. But that's what these arch supports are for, man. They'll correct all those things. And as a result, you'll feel a lot better. So make sure you guys check them out. Goodfeet.com is their website. You can find more information about them, watch videos on it, find the nearest location to you. They are nationwide. Again, that is the Good Feet Store. Improving the quality of people's lives 2 feet at a time. And one last thing, Chase, as we're talking about head coaches and conversations regarding that, here's some more head coaching news. And this one's actually pretty interesting, man. And it's actually more of an exciting thing, not just it's all this drama. Big shout out and congratulations to former Alabama quarterback A.J. McCarron. Chase, I don't know if you've heard the news, but I feel like AJ is taking like all the side quests right now, man. He's doing everything right now. And good for him, man. He's crushing it with the Dynasty podcast that he does with Tramp and Chris Stewart. We know that, well, at least I know. I'm sure you guys have seen it. He does a lot of real estate stuff as well. Hell, he was just running for lieutenant governor, I believe, in the state of Alabama. And I think he dropped out of that. But now it makes sense why he did. AJ McCarron is coming on home, which I think he still was already living in Alabama. But he'll be the next head coach of the Birmingham Stallions. Isn't that kind of crazy? I mean, it's pretty cool, man. So he went from playing in the league. Now, AJ wasn't with the Stallions. He was with, what was it? Was it St. Louis? I think it was the Battlehawks.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, and he did a good job with them. And now he's taking over and pursuing coaching. So who knows, man? Hell, with all this head coaching talk and, oh, is somebody going to stay? Is he going to go? AJ's getting his coaching career started. I'm not sure if he coached before this, maybe like just like, you know, high school or something helping out. I don't think so, not to my knowledge. But, hell, maybe we'll see AJ McCarron putting on the headset here in Tuscaloosa down the road. That'd be kind of cool, man, bringing him back home. I mean, I think he's going to make a great coach. I mean, smart dude, really good football player. And I think he knows X's and O's extremely well. And he comes off to me as, you know, I mean, like when you play the quarterback position, you're a natural leader. So I think all those qualities will translate to being a good football coach. And a heck of a start, too. I mean, a lot of guys normally start on the high school level or they're like a GA for a school. But, hell, he's the head coach for the freaking Birmingham Stallions, man. I mean, that's big time. Good deal, man. So shout out to AJ for getting that gig. And you guys can check out all those games, you know, right there, Birmingham and where they play. They've been doing a nice job over the last couple of years, kind of growing, and hopefully it continues on that trend. We got to hit a timeout when we come back. We'll dive into a little bit of these rumblings and mumblings that have been going on regarding our head coach. And then at 11:30, we'll get our guest on here, Rodney Anderson, and talk some Alabama-Oklahoma matchup. Get the vibes going on over in Norman. kind of get his thoughts on things from where he's at, working closely with that team, kind of how they're feeling, what the deal is with those guys going in this matchup. That way, and we got a little inside intel beyond enemy territory, whatever you want to call. We'll do that here in a minute, right here on the Miller's Edge, top 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Quick time out.
Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Fried Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Junction Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus RUS, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. We got Rodney Anderson joining us here in a few minutes, so we won't have long. This segment will be quick, but real quick before we get to that and dive into that Oklahoma talk, this is just, you know, still coming up, and I know you guys are sick of hearing it. I apologize, but it is interesting though that this conversation is still going on. It's regarding head coach Kalen DeBoer. So without further ado, let me play the clip. This is kind of what's going on right now. Again, we got the Oklahoma matchup tomorrow. A lot of people should be focusing on, hey, is Alabama going to get back to playing offense the way we saw them play in the, you know, the middle part of the season? You know, can they go on the road? Can they finally defeat this Oklahoma team that's had their number the past two appearances? This, you know, third time hopefully is the charm for Alabama. Well, instead, people are too busy looking at it as, depending on the outcome, you know, we could see some shuffling in terms of the coaching world, which kind of crazy to me. But this is the conversation that's going on revolving head coach Kalen DeBoer this morning.
He better not lose.
Me and Dan were talking this morning. I mean, he said, don't the Bama fans just want him out of there if he loses? And I said, if they didn't know there was another suitor at the door, I think it would be normal Bama outrage if they lose the game. But there's been this knock on the door lately down in Tuscaloosa, and it's Michigan. And he's put out a statement, has Kalen DeBoer. And he's said in his press conferences all the right things. I'm really fascinated. If they win this game, it's a moot point. If they lose this game, I'm really fascinated to see what talk radio, what message boards, what Bama Twitter looks like. Because normally it would just be a huge bonfire.
What would you say if Kalen DeBoer loses this game?
I'd say if they don't show up, then I think the guardrails are off and the car just kind of went down the cliff. And I don't really think there's a way to properly contextualize what you would feel like until you see it. If they lose a close game, it's like you're still building your roster, whatever. But I'm telling you, the Bama fans, there's this thing mentally, and they know the Michigan job is still there. Yeah. And he has not sat down at a table, looked at a piece of paper with his offer on it, and said, no, yet. Mm. And so if he loses, on one hand, you want to criticize. On the other hand, there's this voice in the back of your mind telling you, you might want to hold off on that.
So you're almost saying that they may have to, in some way, placate toward him or be a little more gentle because there is somewhere that he has the possibility of going?
I'm telling you, you got a big argument happening in your kitchen right now, and it's you and it's your significant other, and there is someone on the front door who would gladly take her, and so you just got to be careful how much you raise your...
That's kind of a crazy comparison, but hey, I mean, I get where Paige's going, but let me ask you guys this real quick. Chase, I'll start with you, and I'll let our chat respond, man. Like, what are you guys thinking when you're hearing this? Because I thought we shut all this down a few days ago. I mean, this was this morning on ESPN. They're talking about it. And listen, that's Josh Pate, who was on our show. What? I mean, 2 days ago, right? Not even. And he said, without a doubt, he felt Kalen DeBoer was staying at Alabama. And he felt strongly about it. But then, I mean, today he's kind of just saying, I don't think that's changed, but I think he's just saying, hey, the door is not fully closed. Chase, how are you interpreting this, man? Because, like, on one end, like, when I hear him, I'm like, I hear what he's saying somewhat, but on the other end, I'm like, I still just don't think. Because, listen, it takes two to tango. We all know, like, that's why we said, like, Michigan was going to have Kalen DeBoer as their prime candidate. We know that, just like Penn State. Like, any of these big-time programs, they want a worthy candidate, somebody that they feel confident that they can hire and he's going to have a good chance of being successful, right? Kalen DeBoer is probably the top guy right now, because if you look at some of the other big time candidates or these big names in college football, you're not moving those guys. You're not moving Dan Lanning, Kirby Smart, even maybe Sarkisian. I guess the way they had a season this year, maybe he's a little bit more moved. But you get what I'm saying. Those names aren't. But Coach DeBoer, he's only been here just now 2 years, right? So it's kind of like he's probably one of the more movable guys, maybe. At least that's the way it seems. I wouldn't say he is, but that's the perception. People perceive that he is. I just think it's crazy that people still kind of like, hey, man, well, depending on how it goes. Because in my mind, Chase, knowing Coach DeBoer, and just like we talked about with Chris Lowe, he just, that's not in his DNA, in my opinion, to just be ready to roll that quick. I just don't think the same guy that took the Alabama football head coaching job after Coach Saban would be willing to just leave, you know, and before he even finished the second year, I guess, or right as he finished the second year. To me, that just doesn't add up. Does that make sense, Chase? And then the other part to that is Michigan is, and I mean, I use the word reputable because right now they're not reputable, but it's a storied program. It's like, you know, historically, Michigan University, we know, I mean, it's the University of Michigan, whatever it is. I mean, it's a good program if you subtract the stuff going on, but that's the problem. They've got all the stuff going on. Why would you want to leave here? Like, yes, there's pressure here, but just like we talked about with everybody else, I mean, there's going to be pressure there. And on top of just the pressure of having success, you're dealing with the pressure mounting from all the scandals and things going on. Chase, I mean, what do you think about that real quick before we hit this timeout?
It's gotten to a point where they're just trying to find anything and everything to create anything within this area. Literally, he said it twice, like back to formidable reporters that cover Alabama football daily. And they talk behind the scenes. And you could see Kalen DeBoer's reaction to these questions. He's like, can you leave me alone? I have a game to prepare. Exactly. Like, you know, but I think it's nonsense. I think for Alabama fans, you have nothing to worry about. This will not be on my bingo card if he ever pulls this move, because he is where he needs to be. I'll say that, but just focus on Oklahoma.
Yeah, exactly. No, that's most important. But listen, Chase, if this ends up being one of those things it's the okie doke or something, and I wouldn't even think it was that. Like, if something, I don't think it does. Say something did happen. I don't think it was. I think it would be just maybe as things progressed or things. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he would have just sat at that podium and just said that if he really. You know what I'm saying? But that, I'm just saying, if something did, oh man, there would be all type of madness going on. But I don't think it does. I don't think it happens. We got to hit a timeout. We're going to talk some Alabama, Oklahoma when we come back with Ronnie Anderson, former Oklahoma running back. But we'll dive back into some of this conversation a little bit later, because it is kind of interesting. I know it's gossip, but hey, man, it's the word on the street right now. So we'll talk about it right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230. WTBC.
And options at up to 95% less than brand names at hims.com/radio. That's hims.com/radio. hims.com/radio.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arts Support Experts. Playoff Day Eve, I guess that's what we can call it. That's what Mike in the chat called it. And then that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about this playoff matchup. But we'll be joined by former Oklahoma running back, Rodney Anderson, who joined us last time. And Rodney, I'm almost thinking, man, maybe it's bad luck to have you on the show, because you came on last time and we know what the result was. You guys ended up walking away and stealing one from us. 23-21, bro. Y'all, you know what? I'm not going to use that word, stole it from us, because y'all didn't steal it. Y'all, listen, I will say this. Let me just say this, Rodney. I respect y'all's defense. I respect Coach Venables. And listen, y'all had a heck of a game plan. Y'all found a way to overcome some of the struggles you guys have offensively by forcing those turnovers, playing fast, playing physical, and making some big plays in the game. So listen, I give credit where credit's due. But tell me, Rod, number one, hope all is well, bro. And good to have you on here. But two, Ronnie, tell me, just let's go back first. I mean, what was your assessment of that game, how you guys played and how you saw it? Because on our end, you got a lot of people in Alabama then saying, hey, man, we were moving the ball on these guys. We were running. We Ty had over 300 yards passing, but it was only the turnovers. And I hear that, but I also will say, you know, those turnovers were forced. I mean, whether it's guys punching it out, simulated pressures, showing some looks, getting to something else, you know, leading to a pick six. You guys earned those, so I want to give you guys that credit. What was your initial assessment of just that first matchup between these guys earlier this year?
Yeah, I'll be completely honest. And hope you're doing well too, bro. Like, likewise. But, I was kind of shocked how well y'all are moving the ball on us last time. It was because, you know, there's not really a whole lot of teams that have been able to do that. And it was also a little bit surprising because we haven't been just this amazing turnover, you know, finding football team, even though we are such a great defense. That kind of came later for us in the season. And so, yeah, it was a kind of a grimy win for us. You know, a win is a win and it feels great. But yeah, y'all just kind of ran up and down the field on us a lot more than we would have liked to see. And, you know, with the offense that we've got, I think that we're at a point I may have said last time where we're just trying to be serviceable and not turn the ball over and not make mental mistakes. So, you know, hopefully we can figure out how to start a little bit faster pace this week or tomorrow. And so that we don't have to worry so much about, you know, dang, do we have to get those turnovers? Do we need a big play to turn this thing around?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt about it. And listen, I'll say this. I mean, we got to go to y'all's place this time around. And we know, I mean, it's, you know, hostile environment, that's tough. And you talk about offensive struggles and, you know, things being a little bit more difficult. Well, I'm sure you guys are going to be bringing the energy. I know last time we played there, some of the guys, they've mentioned. Let me ask you this real quick while I just thought about this. The lights.
Yeah.
We had our receiver mentioned that the light positioning in Norman is a little weird and it took him some time to adjust and it kind of threw him off a little bit. Are you familiar with that? Was that something that you've heard before? I've never played in Norman. You know, I played you guys in 2018 down in the Orange Bowl. That was my only time. So I've never been there to experience that. Is that a real thing with the lights? Are they different there in Norman, or is it something you're used to?
I mean, I've obviously played in that stadium a bunch of times, and I've had balls thrown at me that have, you know, crossed paths with the light or have come into, you know, the view of the light or whatever. And yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to discount his experience. Maybe it was a little bit different. Maybe they've changed the light since I've been there, you know, almost 10 years ago. But, you know, to me personally, it was no different than, you know, any other time that's happened, or like, you know, that happens with the sun sometimes. It's frustrating, but I don't think it was a problem that's, you know, solely an Oklahoma Stadium problem. But, you know, that being said, like I said, it's been some time since I've been in that stadium as a player.
Yeah, no, that's fair. No, I genuinely was just curious because I never even heard of that or thought of it. But he had mentioned, I know a lot of people were just kind of, it was a pretty interesting topic to bring up. And so I was like, let me ask Rodney, because, I mean, he spent plenty of time there. I never, but again, I played defense, so I guess I wasn't really looking to catch passes or really staring up in the sky a whole bunch. So probably a different story then. You mentioned some of those surprises, though, when you guys did play us, like the turnovers that you guys are able to force. You guys have really good defense, but like you said, I mean, you hadn't been, you know, known for all the turnovers necessarily, but that showed up in that last game. Us being able to move the football, that was something that showed up. When you look at this matchup, Ronnie, and I mean, you know, just like I do, I mean, playing a team twice is tough. You know, where are things at on y'all's end? You guys have also had quite some time to prepare for this game. You know, you work with the collective, you're around those guys. Kind of what's the vibe? I will say we listened to a little bit of, you know, Coach Venables, his press conference, and, you know, he was very, very, how would you say it? Maybe like very modest. He was very, you know, very much saying, hey, you know we won last time, but we also understand there's a lot of things that we need to do better. And so he's very humble, and it seems like he's understanding. It doesn't seem like y'all are just going in like, oh, we beat these guys already, cool. It seems like there's a lot of respect there. Does that seem about right?
Yeah, and I think that is definitely spearheaded by Brent Venables. Coach BV does such a great job of, you know, keeping his guys tethered to the ground, no matter how high things might seem or how good or, you know, how many wins or, you know, where we're headed. He does a great job keeping them tethered to earth and not letting their heads get too big. And, you know, I think they kind of understand the team that they are. You know, they're a defensive team. That's their foundation. Their offense is what it is. And so we need to find the creative ways to put points on the board, creative ways to win and stay ahead in the game. No game has been pretty for us really this year. You know, we everybody has their gimmies on the schedule, but no real matchup for us this year has been just the blowout where it's all OU, all positive for us. And so I think that's kind of the mentality we have going into postseason as well. You know, we're not looking to make any win, you know, just the most beautiful thing. If it happens, then great. You know, that's, you know, we'll pat ourselves on the back and move on. But, you know, we're kind of expecting everything to be a dogfight. We're expecting it to be a hard-fought battle. Like, Alabama, obviously, storied, traditional program, no joke. And we're seeing them twice in 1 year. That's a problem for anybody. And so, yeah, we're taking it very seriously. Everybody's very focused. And, you know, we just kind of, we are who we are, and we're going to show up and give it our best. That's kind of the feeling I've gotten in the facility this week.
We're joined by former Oklahoma and Cincinnati Bengal, Rodney Anderson. Hey, Rodney, let me ask you this, because this is something that came up in our chat here on our stream. We've got Phil here, and he wants to know, you know, you talked about, you know, Brent Venables and getting this team ready to go, and you mentioned some of those things with the offense that aren't quite, I guess, you know, up to speed as maybe where you guys would hope, but his question is, what are some things you think Coach Venables or this staff could probably do to try to help give you guys a little bit more success offensively? Hey, I promise I'm not trying to get nuggets to fill it out. I promise this is a question to the chat. And I am curious myself, because when I watch you guys on offense, to me, you know, everything goes through Mateer, right? Run a lot of RPO game, use him and his mobility often. Sotega, I think that's, I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, but he's a good football player. I know you guys try to get the football in his hands and let him do what he does, but a lot of quick game things like that. But is there anything that you would, maybe just from your football perspective, I mean, you played, you know, offense, so you got a good understanding of it, that you guys could do to try to help give you guys a little bit more of a spark offensively? Or you think that's just kind of who you guys are personnel wise at this point?
Yeah, I will say, I guess as a preface, I think we're just a very young offensive line. We have some guys on there that have a little bit of experience, but we have a couple of freshmen on there, and you know, some redshirt sophomore or redshirt freshmen, and maybe a sophomore on there too. That you know, they're learning. This is their first season of like actually playing against real Division I SEC talent. Those true freshmen that are on the offensive line right now, last season they were facing 16-year-olds in their hometown. And so it's a huge jump for them. And I think it's been a little bit that paired with the inconsistency we've been having in our running back room. We've finally just nailed down our two guys, but this whole season has been kind of like a who's going to be in our backfield this week and who's going to take most of the carries. And then on top of that, we've been banged up. And so all of that to say, our running game has just been atrocious this year, for a lot of different reasons, some in our control, some out of our control. But you know, I'm not an excuses guy. Our run game is trash, and it's been kind of that way. I think we've been making progress slowly, but it's not like, that's why I say moving forward in the postseason, I'm not looking for us to all of a sudden, you know, pop off these 40, 50, 60 yard runs and have over 200 yards each game rushing, and then all like, It is what it is. So I think our offense suffers a little bit from a lack of run game, because then that kind of makes us one dimensional. And instead of run plays, we're looking to do screens. And instead of being able to sit in the pocket and go deep, we've got to do like these short, you know, tunnel screens and crossing routes that sometimes work. But when there's no run game to keep anybody honest, it's really hard to be that one dimensional in offense.
Yeah, no, I mean, unfortunately, we've experienced a lot of those same issues, so I understand completely what you're talking about, and that's why, in my opinion, this is going to be an interesting matchup, again, just like the first time around it was just to see, right? I mean, these teams now have had, what, like almost two, or at least for us, we've had almost 2 weeks. I think you guys probably closer to 3 weeks to prepare for this matchup. How can these offenses, you know, go to the drawing board over the last few weeks that they've had and come out with their best offensive performance yet? Because we all know, I mean, both these teams have really good defenses that they rely heavily on. And it's interesting because for us, it kind of did like a 180. We started the season, you know, the offense was hot and our defense had a couple of question marks, and then it flipped around. And now we're in the same situation as you guys. Running game just hadn't been there, and we don't even have that passing game that we once had. So it is really interesting. Rodney, let me ask you this real quick before we let you go, and I appreciate you joining us. For you guys, man, it's y'all's first time in the playoffs since, I guess, Coach Venables has been there, man. We've got people in the chat here that are saying they're shutting down public schools in Oklahoma. That's how serious you guys are taking this game. Is that true? Are they shutting down the schools this Friday for the game?
Yeah, man. So, I mean, obviously, y'all are familiar with it, being a blue blood school. You know, one of those traditional programs. We obviously take our football so seriously. And, you know, we're super excited to be in the SEC. We're excited to be in the 12-team playoff. And we understand that this is a historic game, the fact that it's a CFP game being played in Norman. And so, yeah, it's 100% true. Norman Public Schools have closed school for tomorrow. They're letting their kids out. I think it's not just Norman Public Schools. It might be a few other, like, you know, districts.
Counties and stuff, districts.
Areas. Yeah, and so we're expecting it to be a huge showing. You know, we're at the game day, obviously, SEC Nation. We're opening up our fan fest activities, like, a lot earlier. You know, we're just excited. We're honored that we've got two historical programs playing great football this late in December. So I think everybody's just excited.
Man, yeah, no, it definitely sounds like it. And I guess one last thing, I know I just said that, but for any of our fans that might be making the trip out to Norman, I know some of them went last season when we played you guys for the first time there in quite some time, I believe. But for anybody that might be making the trip for the first time or they didn't get to do much last time and say they have more time, any recommendations? I mean you're there, you're heavily involved, so I'm sure you know the scene really well. Are there any restaurants or any things that you feel like people should go check out if they do make the trip to Norman?
Yeah, man. I mean, obviously on game day, Campus Corner, that's our like little bar restaurant area just north of our stadium. It's going to be bumping. They usually shut down the whole area and it's just vendors out, a great time. Party at the Palace, like immediately north of the stadium, is kind of our university footprint with all of our partners and donors and tailgaters and things like that. It's also a really cool way to see our campus. And then if you're just looking for some restaurants, some quick bites to eat, I guess a quick bite, maybe like the Garage. It's a great burger spot. Everybody likes the burger. And then let me think. Neighborhood Jam is a pretty awesome morning, you know, breakfast brunch spot. You just need to put your name in. Pro tip, make sure you download the Open Table app and put your reservation in early before you leave the hotel or wherever you're coming from.
Wow, dang, that all sounds, you got, man, I'm not making the trip, but I'm like, dang, that does sound cool, man. So hopefully all our listeners,
let me know when you're down here.
Yeah, no, really, man. No, it sounds, listen, I've never been to Norman, but everything you're describing, man, it sounds like, you know, not only just with football, but the universities. I mean, because you guys, I want to say, what other sport was it? Man, maybe I was thinking like gymnastics or something. I feel like y'all were really good at another sport a couple years ago that I remember seeing you guys.
Yeah,
yeah, it seems like you guys have a cool vibe down there.
Yeah, our women's gymnastics team has been phenomenal. Our softball team, they can't stop.
Oh, yeah, softball. That's right.
Yeah, they're so fun to watch. But, yeah, I mean, any sport is a great reason to come to Norman, Oklahoma. You know, it's a great atmosphere. We love watching good sports. And so, for the most part, I think every fan base has, you know, that few in there that are some troublemakers. But for the most part, really, our fan base is great, super kind and welcoming. And so, yeah.
Yeah, no, that sounds cool. One of these days, I'll definitely have to make that trip. And even like with the Red River rivalry / showdown, I know one of our listeners, his name is Ricky, man. He talks about it all the time and how it's like probably one of the best football experiences that you can go to with everything that it entails. And So, yeah, man, I've always been intrigued, man. Like I said, I mean, Adrian Peterson, I remember, you know, watching him a little bit. But other than that, I don't know a whole bunch about the program other than some of that history. But, no, it definitely is a great program, man. So I'll definitely let you know if I'm ever that way. And, hey, you got to come experience Tuscaloosa a little bit. Tuscaloosa is a small town type deal, but football is like a religion, as you can imagine. And there's plenty of cool, you know, little spots you can hit up to eat that are staples here. It'd be cool, but yeah, man, no, it's definitely cool. But Rodney, I appreciate you joining us, and listen, hopefully on my end, I had to listen, hopefully we have a different result this time around, because, you know, listen, Alabama fans, I know you guys take it serious, but hey, listen here, brother, it's like, if things don't go well, I mean, the whole mood of the city, the town, I mean, the fan base is different, bro. So I don't know if we can afford it right now, bro. Right now we got coaching rumors. Everybody's saying our coach is heading to Michigan. And tomorrow, there's a lot going on tomorrow. So hopefully we can have a little bit different result. But, hey, best of luck to you guys. I think it's going to be a hell of a game, and I'm excited to watch it, man. But appreciate you hanging out with us again, brother.
Yeah, no worries. I appreciate you having me on, and hopefully see you soon.
Yes, sir. Sounds good, brother. I appreciate you. Good deal. That was our buddy Rodney Anderson, former Oklahoma running back and with the Cincinnati Bengals. Great dude, guys. Great dude, man. He is funny. He reminds me a lot of myself. Funny enough, man, I feel like we actually look similar too, because, hey, look, we both got long curly hair going on and deal. But really nice guy, man. Appreciate him hanging out with us, talking some football, and getting us ready for this matchup. So you guys heard him, man. I mean, they have some struggles, right? They have some vulnerabilities. Mostly on the offensive side of things, and we'll see. Can their offense do enough like they did last time to win the football game with the help of their defense? We'll have to see, but hopefully it's a different outcome on our end. We got to hit a timeout when we come back. We'll talk a little bit, maybe dive back in that coaching conversation for a second, because at the top of the hour, we'll have Slade Bolden jumping back on here, and we'll dive back into some football talk, probably pull up some film, all that good stuff, like we like to do with Slade and others. And we'll keep on rolling right here on this Thursday edition of the Miller's Edge, Top 100.9, 1230 WTBC. Don't go anywhere. We're just getting rolling. Quick time out.
$50. Hurry in. It's all happening at Macy's Great Gift Sale this Saturday. No purchase necessary. See store for details. Official rules at macys.com/great gift card giveaway.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are mensclinic.com and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to primetimemensclinic.com.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Harding Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Harding Construction is woman-owned and strongest steel, a specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Harding Construction today at 205-752-9611. Again, that's Brian Harding Construction at 205-752-9611. 9611.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Cloudy and mild with occasional showers this afternoon, the high 62. For tonight, showers ending this evening, clearing and colder, the low 36. Tomorrow and Saturday, sunny both days, the high tomorrow 49. Warmer Saturday, the high 60. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 65 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's Arch Sport Experts. Big thanks to Rodney Anderson, former Oklahoma running back, joining us on the show. Again, he does serve as one of the key people in their NIL department, man. So if you guys ever have any questions about NIL and all the workings on that, we can always get Rodney back on here to explain it, because I've talked to him a lot about it, and it's definitely an interesting space that he works in. He was actually one of the first hires for NIL in terms of universities, like when it first became a thing. He was one of the first people. So really smart guy, really great, I mean, really great guy. He's a great football player, by the way, and he's doing some good stuff. So always appreciate him joining us. We were during the break, we were answering a question from our buddy Adam Lamparella, who is a longtime listener of the show, going back to when we first were just doing podcast stuff here on YouTube. And we've got Adam back here in the chat, and he's being extremely generous with the super chats, which we appreciate. But he had asked a really, really good question about handling the pressure and the crowd noise, which we just talked about with Rodney, right? Talking about how serious they're taking it. I mean, they're closing down schools. It's going to be one of those types of football games. And so just to kind of put a bow on what we were talking about with Adam to his question, I mean, the biggest thing that you can do to prepare for these moments, number one, they're doing all the things that they can necessary in practice, right? So the crowd noise, they're going to blast it through practice. And you got to remember the offense is the main group that's going to see these effects slash special teams. Defense is typically a lot more quiet when you're on the road because they want to give their offense an advantage. But you know, the offense, they'll get some experience in practice, right? That'll help get them ready for it. That way they have time all week to be working on whatever cadence they're going with, which I think with us is typically like, you know, the hip smack by the guard. So they'll work with that, which is good. But then also you just have to understand, man, like at the end of the day, you got to look at it as like an opportunity to be the villain. That's how I've always explained it. That's how I always viewed it. I know it's different because I was on defense, but to me, like it all starts with your mindset. And I think that was one of the biggest things that hindered us a couple of years ago when we were having some struggles on the road, a la Tennessee when we lost that one. And we're talking about the nerves going into that game. I think sometimes, you know, if you overthink something or if you're like stressing about, oh, well, we can't do this or we don't want this to happen. Typically, you end up playing worse and those things do somewhat end up happening, right? Instead of, you know, taking on that persona like, hey, we know it's a big environment. We know it's going to be loud. But that's what we like to do, right? We like to embrace those challenges. We like to take those things head on, and we take pride in that because that's who we are. Like that was the mindset, like the teams that I played on, like we always felt like that. Like we viewed ourselves like these people are paying money. Of course they're going to see their team, but why are they selling out the arena? Because Alabama's come to town. So let's give them what they want. They want to show, they want to see who Alabama is and who we really are. All right, let's give it to them. And so we always had that mentality playing on the road. It didn't mean we didn't run into some bumps and you know, in the road and whatnot. Nah, but I think it starts with having the right mentality. And I think these guys are ready for it. You know, all the clips that we've listened to, everybody seem to be locked in and ready for the challenge. So hopefully that is the case because there will be some adversity. But, you know, like we talked about earlier, they've handled it pretty well this season. Hadn't been as many penalties. Guys have been playing, you know, with a lot of juice when on the road. So that's definitely been a good thing. So really good question by Adam right there. Big thanks again for all the contributions, man. Adam's making up for lost time, man. He's being extremely generous. So big thanks to him and all the support that he's given us. All right, we got to hit this top hour break. But don't you guys go anywhere. We're just getting rolling, really, because we got another guest lined up. We got our buddy Slim Slady, Slade Bolden, joining us now at the top of the hour. When we come back, he'll be on the stream. So if you guys want to tune in and watch that, head on over to YouTube / Facebook, Tide 100.9. YouTube at the Miller's Edge, and you can come hang out with me and Slade as we give our thoughts on this Oklahoma Alabama playoff matchup tomorrow, 7 p.m. Central kick, ABC. But first, we'll talk about it right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. Quick timeout. We'll be right back.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Monsi Bolaños.
Thursday Night Football kicking off week 16 of the NFL, and it's an NFC West showdown as the Rams will be taking on the Seahawks in Seattle. LA wide receiver Devontae Adams listed as doubtful because of his hamstring injury. USC wide receiver Mekhi Lemon has officially declared for the 2026 NFL draft. In the NBA, Josh Giddey recorded his sixth triple-double of the season, 23 points, 11 rebounds, and 11 assists as the Bulls outscored the Cavaliers 120 127-111. Jaren Jackson Jr. had a double-double, 28 points and 12 rebounds as the Grizzlies topped the Timberwolves 116-110. The Lakers will be without DeAndre Ayton for Thursday's game in Utah because of his elbow injury. And in the NHL, the Devils defeated the Golden Knights 2-1 in a shootout, while the Hurricanes extended their winning streak to 5 after defeating the Predators 4-1.
Do you have cracks or potholes that are dragging down your property's appeal? Hey, I'm Christian Miller, and at Asphalt Restoration, we transform driveways and parking lots with expert repairs, new paving, or resurfacing. Fast, durable, and family-owned quality that you can trust. Don't let small issues turn into big expenses. Call 205-393-9149 for your free estimate today. That's 205-393-9149. Asphalt Restoration, where smooth roads start. Roll Tide.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past, that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Hey, it's Christian Miller, and I want to tell you about our great friends over at Brian Hardy Construction. Located in the heart of Tuscaloosa, Brian Hardy Construction is woman-owned and strong as steel. A specialty manufacturing firm with expertise in structural steel fabrication, ASME code piping and vessels, CNC machine work, welding, laser cutting, pipe fitting, industrial maintenance, and crane rental. With a proven track record of over 30-plus years of experience, no one is better fit for the job. For an evaluation, contact Brian Hardy Construction today at 205-752-9600. Again, that's Brian Hardin Construction at 205-752-9611.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
To the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's art support experts. You guys heard of the man. We got Slim Slady joining us now. Big thanks to Rodney Anderson, who we just talked to on the Oklahoma side of things. Now we'll get some more Bama perspective here as we get you guys ready for this matchup tomorrow again, 7 p.m. Central Time. Kick ABC, I believe, is the network where you can watch it. But we got Slim Slady on here. I almost called you Slim.
I'm looking a little slim. I need to eat more and work out more.
That was me for a second because I had like people always. I guess like I have a basketball body type. I've never been like when I was playing. I used to just eat and eat and eat because I had to.
But I've got this
fast. Yeah, I got a fast metabolism. So now I'm like, why am I going to eat? You know, calorie after calorie. When I don't. I mean. I'm not taking on nobody on the edge right now.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, so people are like, oh, man, you look slim. I'm like, nah, bro. I mean, that's just kind of my natural build. I'm not chugging a 32-ounce protein shake every night like I was doing miserably in Bryant dorm so I could get on the football field.
Well, I'll tell you, first thing, I started losing my ass, and I always thought I had a great one. And I was like,
Whoa.
Just saying, like, my pants started to fit a little looser. Oh, like, man. Golly, like, you know, because I'm not squatting as much. I'm not eating as much.
You might be sitting down a little bit more. You know what
but
I mean?
But pause, obviously, for the whole conversation, because here comes another pause that, you know, Simba, you've always been a, you know, cut up dude. And you probably, you know, that's genetics. Thank pops for that one.
being that high metabolism, no matter what you eat. It was funny, like, you know, I would get questions like, who was always like the, you know, the best athlete, or, you know, the most, like, you know, built guy? And I was like, dude, we obviously played with some guys that just were constantly ripped, you know, just looked like they came out of a lab. But yeah, I was like, man, I used to see Terrell Lewis and Trayvon Diggs eat Jack's chicken and Cane's before practice, like 30 minutes, and go out there, ball out. Nothing. I mean, if I ate one chicken finger before practice, I'd tear a hammy. And I was just, it's just crazy, like the genetic differences and like how it's so much easier. But then again, like, you see guys like that, like, you know, no, not trying to get on T. Lou or Diggs, but, you know, they've had injuries and stuff. Like, obviously, you, no matter how genetically gifted you are, or, you know, blessed by the good Lord, like, you still got to treat your body. It's a temple. You got to eat right. You got to, you know, continue to train and work hard, because, you know, those things will catch up to you.
Under the hood, there's probably some things that, like, but you know, it's crazy you mentioned that, and like, for our listeners. So, like, across from the practice field, there's the Jack's, the restaurant Jack's. So, like, you know, meetings started at 2 o'clock. So, you know, you get done at class like 12:15. If you're procrastinating, you know, the bus is taking a minute, or you're just walking or whatever, you're running kind of late, you haven't ate. Like, we had a dining hall, but sometimes, man, you, Jack's smells kind of good. I don't have much time. I'm going to swing. I used to do it too. I was guilty of it. I would grab a quick strip meal real quick, and I'd be eating my Jack's, man. But you're right. You know, the practice field, I wouldn't feel great. But I used to have a bad habit, like, you know, because meetings, it was hard for me to stay up sometimes. So I had a habit. Yeah. I used to chew tobacco. That used to kind of help me stay up. I thought it did. But, you know, when you come down from it, like, I put a dip in, and I'd have this boost of energy. I'm like locked in. And then, like, 15, 20 minutes later, man, I'm like,
yeah,
I started kind of relax a little bit. The next thing I know, I'm like, so I had to stop doing that, because I was drinking, dude. It was bad. I at one point had a diet of Mountain Dew, Copenhagen in the meeting room, then go out and try to go practice football at the University of Alabama. And that, dude, it was terrible. I had
your white pants then turn brown with that combination. I mean, that's just asking for some BBs right there.
Yeah, nah, it wasn't ideal. But like I said, I didn't always do the two, but if I was real tired, I was like, yeah, I'm going to get Mountain Dew. I'm going to sneak up there. Because remember, we used to have that door from the team meeting room that went straight to the, I don't even know if you, maybe you don't remember that. I think you do, though. But it would go straight to like the, what area was that? Coaching area, right? Before they changed everything up. And I used to go sneak me a little Mountain Dew sometimes, help keep me up. But that's a bad habit. So don't.
Hey, I gained a bad habit. I wouldn't even call it bad, but I started doing Zens. And that's funny, real quick. And
we'll everybody loves that.
We'll get into the you know, Bama talk. But I remember when I was getting ready for the UFL, I was like, hey, I'm going to, you know, not drink. I'm going to eat right. I'm going to stop Xanax. I'm going to be as in the best shape as I can. So I went without, like, putting any nicotine for 4 weeks straight. And when I tell you, when I sat my butt down that first meeting, I looked to my left and right, and I started asking, hey, anybody got Xan? It just, like, was a natural instinct.
Yeah.
I'm sitting in the meeting room. I need it. Because it does help with focus and memory, and obviously can kind of boost a little energy.
It does.
Copenhagen dip may not be too good for your gums and
teeth. That's why I don't do it anymore. I quit the
game. That's South Carolina in you, baby.
I started when I was 16, man. I mean, I'm an outdoorsman, so like it just became anytime I'm fishing, hunting, in a meeting room, it was like, man, I had to have a can on me. I just said God, man, that brings back some memories, man.
You're talking about the Miller's Edge. That was your edge right there.
That was my edge, man. That was my little vice, man. I was stressed out about football, man. Just chew me some Copenhagen. Man. Everything was all good. First, we got to hit this. We got a super chat from Superfly. Superfly, appreciate the super chat, man. He says, what's up, Bama family? Time for us to roll into Norman and get our get back. Then we move on to the Rose Bowl and take on the Hoosiers. 24-17, Bama, Roll Tide, Roll. That's what Superfly had to say with the super chat. Big thanks for that. Seriously, always thank you, all you guys, for all the support here. Slay, let's talk about it. You know, Superfly brought it up. Rolling into Norman, Oklahoma. Team leaves today. The game will be taking place tomorrow. Looks like Superfly's got it close, 24-17, man. What's your vibe right now in the game? I know we talked a couple of days ago, but I'm sure you had some time to kind of process some things. I mean, 24-17, that's kind of a in-line score with two teams with really good defenses, some offenses that have been a little sluggish.
Right. And I think there's two different ways of looking at this. And I think both Oklahoma and us, Alabama, have like what we depend on a certain thing, right? I think Oklahoma depends on their defense when it comes to getting turnovers, you know, depending on them to put them in better situations so that the offense can capitalize on it. Yep. And I think that's where our defense is going to step up, honestly, and do a better job of containing their offense, even if their defense puts them in a better situation. So that's where I do think like it's going to be a low scoring game for Oklahoma on the offensive side of ball. 17 is what I'm hoping. It would be the max potential points they score, but I could see it being 10 or 13. Now, flip that, right? I think we've obviously depended on our passing game a lot too much over the last five or six games. They have a great run defense. They might be getting their best run defender back for this game. Obviously, we still got some guys out. But I think, like what we talked about last time or Tuesday when I hopped on the show, is that, you know, kind of talking about Ryan Williams and how we'd be, being able to get him the ball in different ways and, you know, just letting his ability take over, different things of that nature. I think that is going to be super important to our success as a run team, because like we've talked about before, you can run the ball essentially in so many different ways. You know, you're not just handing it off to the running back and or, you know, where it's inside or outside zone or sweep. You know, you can do different things where it's not necessarily a down the field play action or a three-step drop where it's, you know, it's further down the field than just like quick game, that you can essentially, you know, run the ball, you know, keep the defenders honest and keep everybody's eyes in the backfield from a box standpoint, from even you know, grabbing the safety so that we can go over the top and beat them with our burner. So I think that's something that, you know, I think we need to do. And we talked about, you know, Ryan, you know, maybe transferring and all that stuff. But hey, if you really want to show why if you're offensive coordinator, you're the head coach, and you want to show why you're so important to this offense and this team, like, I think that's the best opportunity in this game, is to get him balls like he did a couple times with just like, you know, behind the play, little screen routes or quick throws, we call them now routes, or, you know, even like end of rounds, all these different things. And I think Grubb does dial up some good misdirection plays, getting those guys like Jeremy and Ryan the ball. But yeah, I think that's a really good key point for us. Obviously, I can't speak on Oklahoma as much. I don't know their offense and, you know, what kind of how they compare to each other from offense and defense, other than they do depend on their defense a lot. But I do think that's something that we can do to possibly disrupt that Oklahoma's run stopping scheme.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, even this, I finally got the tape back. Couldn't find these for a minute. Now I found them. But I think like little things like this, like, could help us, right? Just move the football down the field. I mean, you see, and this is a common design that we've seen a lot of, right? Because we've liked to have, this would be seven-man protection technically, at least briefly, right before these guys end up getting out. But you've got Quavis to the field and you've got Jam up top. They're both kind of in that like U spot, right in that C area, providing a chip, then they get out late. To me, kind of just going back to even just, you know, taking what the defense gives you, like right here.
Yeah.
To me, this is late. And it's interesting because it looks like Ty's reading, you know, deep to short in this situation. To me, you see them playing this type of zone right here. It looks like some form of maybe quarters coverage or whatnot.
Yeah.
I mean, just dump it off real quick. By the time, five to seven yard gain.
I mean,
guaranteed 5 yards. That's a good run. Breaks that tackle. Yeah, I mean, that's a big, but instead, I mean, we wait till last minute to try to go there, and now they've already gelled to their players, and now we're just trying to scramble, ends up being a sack. These are little things. I just watched this play. Like, this is where I think Ty could be better, and these little details would help him out tremendously, because instead of us dumping it off real quick, just take it, take the quick, you know, flat to Jam, instead we hold the ball, trying to, you know, get these long developing concepts down here, which they're in some type of quarters which they got five deep defenders. There's nowhere to go. There's really nowhere to go with the ball, and now it's too late.
You're just maybe, to hold it. and maybe you could fit it up top to the you know, deep hinge or curl route there, you know, but you still got that guy in that window. And look, obviously we could sit here and, you know this, we can sit here and be couch quarterbacks and, oh, you should have done this and that. It is different. Obviously you got defenders clean coming pocket. At you. It is a clean pocket. And that is kind of the, you know, one, I guess, issue with this play that, you know, from Ty's perspective is maybe this was at a time where he was trying to do too much and putting too much pressure on himself to make plays that are more explosive instead of just taking what they give you, right? And, yeah, and that's the thing is, and if you're not going
that
to...
That was third down, too, by the way. I didn't mean to cut you off, but...
No, you're good.
I mean, I wanted to look at that. That's third down, son. I guess maybe that was a thought process there. Maybe you don't want to jump under the stick, though. Just to throw that out there. But still, though, to me, I don't know. I would just
live to fight another day. I mean, even if you don't get the first down, I mean, it's still a positive yardage. And okay, how can we clean this up? You know, let's get back. Let's get on the bench. Let's look at the film. You know, let's see how we can potentially execute this play better if we run it again, or what's a better play to execute against this coverage.
Yeah. Another thing, and you see it on this play, man, I think needs to be better in this game. And Adam asked a great question earlier about, you know, protection and stuff like that. If you go back to the first time we played, I think it was at 4 total sacks, and I think 2 of them came from 10. Kip Lewis, I believe his name is. I mean, really good player. And the way they utilize him, man, I mean, they're blitzing him. They're bringing him from different spots, and he does a good job with that. You see some guys, you'll call blitzes, and some guys are dancing around backs or this and that, like, nah, you got to get home. You got to go. Mm-hmm. And that's what he does a good job of. And you see here, we end up giving up a sack. I mean, he just works a quick little swipe, chop, whatever you want to call it here. He doesn't even go through the back. Just goes around him, ends up, you know, sacking Tyrod there. That's got to be better. Really, like we talked about the protection. I mean, they just slid all the way to the right on that one. But protection hadn't been terrible. I mean, actually, it's been decent. I think they're just, it's always just like one guy. And you know as well as I do in football, it only takes one guy not doing their job or not doing it good enough to not execute and it being a negative play. And I think that's what we just saw there.
Yeah, and, you know, one miscommunication. And also, you know, Ty's got to have that internal clock, right? Okay, he's, you know, if you run at 1, 2, 3, hitch, okay, that's 3 seconds. I need to have the ball out now. Okay, if the ball's not out, look at this lane. And I'm not, and this is a split second decision. It's so hard to sit here and, you know, if I was tied, it's hard to sit here and say, oh, I could have done this or that, you know, sitting here looking at it, watching the film.
We can sit here. You know how it is. It ain't criticizing. No, we're just watching the tape.
Hey, this is, exactly. And if I was his coach, I'd be like, look, you go on that third step and that hitch and the ball's not out. Look at this lane to the left, right? Use your feet. You know, obviously, if he hitched and he's gone, right there. Okay. I'm not, obviously I'm not making a decision to throw the ball down the field. No one's open or whatever. My read is not what I want it to be. That's when you take off and you scamper over here to the left. And I think, you know, you get a positive gain out of that. He can use his feet. And that's what the thing is, trusting his ability, trusting his instincts. He is a great player. And I know people were, you know, kind of bashing him a little bit. And it is what it is. When you're doing great, they love you. When you're not, they hate you. It is what it has been there before. I know you have to. But, you know, you got to do some self-reflecting. You look in the mirror and say, okay, how can I be better? Man, just trust your instincts. You're a great player. Just, you know, don't make any second guesses. You know, just go out there, have fun, play fast. And then, for instance, on this example, you know, use my ability.
Exactly. And you can tell, I mean, his read, he's trying to hit that dig, that deep end right there by Ryan. And I get it because we've had earlier on in the year, remember how many times we attacked the middle part of the field with these concepts? And I mean, they were big explosive plays for us. And listen, at the end of the day, I mean, yes, we're talking about Ty having that lane. And I think he definitely needs to be ready to take off and scramble more. And you're 100% right. But if we get to go in order, this is Jam's fault, right? If Jam picks up that block, right, we all know. I mean, he probably does have enough time. Not probably, he does. I mean, look at the wall this guy's create right there. He could probably squeeze, and if not, you're right, he doesn't have that guy right on his heels, and he could scramble and pick up some more yards. And the reason I'm glad we're watching this and can do this is because everybody always asks, like, hey, so what are the answers for the offense? They're asking Grubb that. They come on and ask me that. and the good news about tape is it shows you everything. Yeah. It shows literally every time there's something. And the common theme is it's always just like one little detail or one player or one thing. I mean, here we end up trying to go quick screen. We talked about getting Ryan involved. You know, they're trying to do it here with the bubble, right? They're working a quick bubble screen. And numbers-wise, you got what you want. Mm-hmm. You got one corner out there, right? You got the safety. He's already turning, getting his drop. Yeah, you see 38 working. But really, again, what's the one wrinkle here that goes wrong? Well, Horton gets blown up. You know what I'm saying? Horton doesn't get blown up. I see 38 right there, but best believe, it's like you guys saw in the SEC championship game, Ryan's due to make a guy miss. It's like every time, it's always one guy, Slade, one. Mm-hmm. And I hope our viewers can see this, because we're not far off. I mean, you get a better block right there by Horton. I mean, that's a positive play. If Jam gets a better block on that blitz, positive play. So, I mean, more you watch this, I think you should feel confident. Like, if this offense can just get these small details, which they talked about, going back and working on those small fundamentals, they just have to put it all together on game day. Because if they do that, I mean, like, we got good players, right? I mean, the players are there.
That's a question.
Yeah, they just got to put it all together. Slade, let me ask you this, man. When you look at I don't even know if you've even heard all this news. I wanted to get your thoughts on it because we brought it up earlier. Just real quick, not to jump away from football, but are you still hearing the noise about Kalen DeBoer potentially having that door open? I mean, we just played a clip earlier on ESPN, and they're saying, hey, well, you know, the longer that Michigan job sits open, the more of a possibility, not more of a possibility, but the more there is still some little, I guess, chance that he could end up, you know, a place like that. You got any thoughts on that? I'm just curious if you've heard all that.
There was, what was it, last weekend? There's a lot going on about that, a lot of buzz.
This is recent as this morning. It's back again.
Yeah, it's back again, right? And that's the thing. I saw Kalen DeBoer kind of, I guess, answer that question in an interview.
And did you think
it didn't sound too convincing in a way of like, hey, like, I love this place. This is where I want to be. I want to win a national championship here. He did say, like, my family loves being here, which, look, obviously I don't know what Kalen DeBoer's thinking. The only thing that would, for me, I've heard that was his dream job, even before he came to Bama. I've heard
What was his dream job?
Michigan.
Wait, where'd you hear that at?
Just rumors, baby.
Insider Slade, I just
hear what comes to me, and my buddy could be wrong. There's obviously,
I hadn't heard that one yet.
Yeah, you never know, but I just think the only reason he would leave, to be honest, is if he's not it. What, well, maybe if it was his dream job, okay, I can maybe understand that, but from a not built for the the pressure, right? And I don't think DeBoer, he does not strike me as a guy that's willing to back down from the fight, back down from the pressure. I do think this is the best place. Obviously, I'm biased. You're biased. We're biased. But this is the best place as a head coach, if you want, and as a coach in general, if you want to be successful. There's obviously other schools that you can recruit well. You can get, now the NIL money and all the different things. But from a brand specific, this is the best brand in college football, and it has been for, two decades. So I think there's no way in my mind that he would leave this opportunity to go somewhere else where there hasn't really been that significant of a brand. Now,
let alone scandals.
The last century, maybe, but yeah. And walking into that fire as well, it's
kind of risky.
I don't see it happening, but you never know. I mean, shoot, I didn't think Lane was going to leave Ole Miss just because I thought, hey, if you win at Ole Miss, they're going to build statues for every game he won, And LSU, you're just one of four or five people that have won that championship. So
I thought the same thing. I thought the same thing with Lane, too. That's why. But I get it, though. I mean, you talk about brands, and that's why, I mean, you're spot on. I mean, they're talking about the Alabama brand. Mm-hmm. Like, bro. Does it come with a lot of pressure? Hell yeah. Like, I mean, listen, these fans were mad when he went wearing the right attire. You know what I mean? I shouldn't say the right attire, but he won wearing the typical attire. Like, I mean, like, yeah, that's part of it. But, dude, you mean, it's the biggest brand in college football. I mean, that's why, and maybe I put it like this the other day. I'm like, it's not like I'm like, because people are like, oh, well, because I just mentioned like the extension part of the thing. I just was saying, if you're Alabama, you do want to be mindful, but you don't want to bury yourself. Like, as much as we love Coach DeBoer, like, you still don't want to bury yourself where, for whatever reason, something doesn't go great. You're sitting there with the buyout's like $60 million now. I mean, people just 3 months ago after the Florida State game were freaking out trying to get lottery tickets. I'm like, right. So imagine digging that buyout even deeper. Then you're sitting there and say whatever happens comes up. And then you're sitting there like, oh, man, well, now it's went from 60 to 80. Just like we were supposed to build that new basketball arena, mm-hmm. but they waited. And then the price to build it went from X amount to another. That's awesome. But anyway,
but we know. Pressure can make diamonds, but it also can bust pipes. So depending on how you handle that pressure, you can create a diamond or it can all go haywire. Bust some pipes.
It could. I mean, listen, it can definitely bust some pipes. Real quick, because I know you got a couple minutes, Slate. Tell me, like, even like on this, the more we're watching this again, I'll be honest, I guess I saw some of this, but now, I mean, just going through each play, I feel like it seems to me like Ty reads a lot of things deep to short. Now,
or high to low.
High to low, I should say. Excuse me. High to low. Thank you. I mean, that's maybe a system thing, but like, do you think that should be more on the coaches in this situation? Because, like, to me, like, I'm looking at this concept here again. Like, you got another time again. You see that we're putting these guys in these C areas so they can provide some chips and they leak out. And typically, you're always going to have those for check downs. And this is, you know, you got a wheel concept. If anything, I'm building off of this play because this is become like a new concept people are doing a lot. They run a wheel with the late release by like the tight end. And it's actually a really good concept. But, I mean, you're seeing another situation. Pocket is, I mean, as clean as, you know, fresh Charmin.
I don't know why he's sliding to his left here. Maybe the backers being over the middle, being able to get a better vision. But I'll use this analogy.
You played quarterback in high school, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wasn't nowhere near as good as you guys. I can run, but I don't know about the throwing part. A little suspect. But
you threw here though. We drew a
play. I had a touchdown pass under my belt. I had one. That was touchdown too. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hey, but Miller Forsall was so wide open, a blind man could have scored that touchdown. So.
Don't say that, because, boy, I throw a stiff ball, boy. My shoulder, I need to lubricate the shoulders. My arm don't work like that. But go ahead.
I was just saying, like, you know, I saw a lot of Mac in Ty, and I know a lot of people said that at the beginning of the year, but from a mental aspect, I saw they're definitely – you know, no knock on Mac. I love my guy, but Ty's a lot more athletic than him, but not a lot more, but he is. Sure. But one thing I thought Mac did so well was decision making. And right here, Mac, I think, would have stayed in the pocket, not slid over, and would have just checked it down, you know, and just gained positive yards. And he did that a lot with our system now. It was different. I was a lot of times a check down guy because I'd run a bubble or like a motion behind the quarterbacks to the bubble, and Mac would go, you know, 1 to 2 to 3, and then, okay, if his reads weren't there, boom, he's spitting out. And I think that's one thing Ty has to do. Yep, instead of sliding, he got his eyes too fixated on something else and just not just trusting the concept and knowing that, hey, like, I have time in the pocket. Let me just check this down because nothing's open downfield.
Yeah. No, I mean, and then that's
or
why
stepping up and hitting that crossing route right there to Jeremy.
That's why the more you watch some of this tape, it's just kind of interesting because I'm like, which he ends up.
Different concept here. He does hit the crossing route right there.
Yeah, it ends up working out, which, I mean, that was our bread and butter earlier on, man. We are crushing the middle part of the field better than a lot of people, which right now is open. I mean, I don't know if they got a bust right here, but they're. Maybe they're intentionally bracketing our tight end. I don't
definitely grabbed them and opened up that middle of the field, which obviously worked out great.
Yeah, 100%. It's just interesting, man. Just seeing that, like, if you watch his eyes and like you said, like, just like the drifting out, it's almost like I don't know. That's why I'm like, is he being coached to read? Like, I'm assuming he is. I mean, normally, because a coach is going to get on you to tell you. You know what I mean? Like, we're not the only one seeing this on tape. That's why I'm almost like, it's just kind of interesting to me. You know what I mean? I just think, because to me, that seems like a simple, I know everything's easier said than done. But to me, if I'm like saying like, hey, what are some things we can do to try to just get some rhythm, right? The key word is rhythm. I'm not saying like, oh, it's just the easiest thing to just, but to me, if you just want rhythm, hit the quick little rhythm throws. I mean, go watch. I mean, teams like Oklahoma, like a lot of teams nowadays, all they really work is a lot of quick passing games. They're just, you know, trying to pick you
get the offense going.
Yeah, I mean, like you don't have to rely on these deep ends or these deep, like, which we don't really have that success right now anyways. But like, to me, I'm just like, don't pass up the gimmies that not only help you move the football, but also get your guys in a rhythm and get them confident. To me, I like just watching this. We've gone through two series, maybe three, and it's just the same thing coming up. And to me, that's like, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah. So. Yeah, take what they give you. And being able to, you know, have, you know, just long, sustaining drives, you got to be able to have just positive, efficient plays. And, yeah, maybe it's not the deep throw that you were looking for. It's not the original read. But, hey, as long as we're gaining positive yards, we're keeping the ball on offense, we're having those long, sustained drives, putting ourselves in good third down situations, that's how you become successful. It's very cliche. Saban says it all the time, but this the truth
that's
is
literally what it is. Point guard. That's why he calls a quarterback a point guard, which I guess the tape was listening to us, Slade, because there you go. Quick check down right there to Daniel Hill, and you see what happens. He drags a guy for a few more yards. That was first and 10. Now it's second and 2, second and 1, whatever. You know, like, he's got to – yep, second and 2. So, I mean, hopefully we take some of this into this game. And hopefully we're able to recreate our running game, because that'd be the other thing for me. I think that,
would open up everything. That would just make everything a lot more, you know, be easier to execute.
100%. And the good thing is you should be confident that you should be able to at least have some opportunity, because in this last game, the one that we're watching, before the net amount, I think we rushed for over 100 yards. It's one of our better days, even though that's not like a crazy number. Yeah, but for
it's not us, 200, but
yeah, I mean, our 100 is other people's like 180 ones. They saw me, like, we'll take that. That's a big deal. Well, I don't want to hold you, because I know you got to get out of here. Any final thoughts, Slim Slady, before we let you out of here? You want to give a, I don't know, score prediction, final? I know you.
Yeah, I like. I'm going to steal a little thunder, but I like 24-13. I believe we do a better job stopping their offense for, you know, even though they're going to depend on their defense a lot. But I believe we'll come out, we'll do a much better job executing on offense and keeping, you know, winning the turnover game, right? And not being able to put ourselves in bad situations for Oklahoma's defense to take advantage of. We're going to a hostile environment, but look, it's hard to be the good team twice, and thankfully we're the good team that they have to be twice, you know. Right. And I do hope that we are the Georgia in the scenario that they were to us. Yeah. But I do think after, you know, a whole season and playing them twice already in the last 2 years, there's got to be a really great scheme dialed up. And I just think, from an offense perspective, like that one play we showed, Ryan got the bubble. I do think that Isaiah, you know, bring the fight to them, right? Yep. We don't want to embrace the fight or let the defense bring the fight to us. Let's bring the fight to them. That goes for everybody, you know, blocking and making decisions on offense. And if I was to give any advice to Ty, you know, just, man, stay calm, cool, stay calm and cool under the pressure. Trust your instincts. Make good decisions. And just have fun, man. This game's fun. And play to your ability. And I think as long as we do that, we'll have a successful game.
I'll take it. So we can mark you down for a you're picking Alabama in this game. And
I would, yeah, I think so.
I hope so. No, I'm just playing. Hey, listen, anything goes. Hey, our producers, they stuck their guns. They picked Georgia last time we played an SC championship game, and they were, you know, they were right. So, you know.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, I know. I was just saying. I just want to brag on them. Hey, our producers, they know ball, man. They know ball. I got to give them some credit. Slade, I appreciate you jumping on here, man. I'll definitely look forward to talking to you next week. Hopefully good. Hopefully we're breaking down some positives. We're talking about the Rose Bowl, and we got some nice plays to break down on the positive end of things. And yeah, man.
Same here.
be easy this weekend. Take a little rest. Now I know you had a long weekend last weekend. Now I don't need you getting sick next week.
Hey, I'm going home Saturday, so I can't do too much tomorrow. But I appreciate
that. That sounds like a recipe for getting back after it.
I got to drive, so
okay.
I'll be fine. Sir.
There you go. That's important.
Appreciate you having me on. Roll Tide, brother.
Always, bro. Appreciate you. Sounds good, brother. Good deal. Bye. Slim Slady joining us live here on the Miller's Edge. Always appreciate him, man. Hey, you guys saw the tape. You heard us talking about it, man. I mean, definitely some things that we can do better. And the good news is there wasn't nothing crazy, man. Just got to execute a little bit better, take what the defense gives us. And I think we could recreate what we saw last time we played them, and that was that efficiency, able to move the football. We got hit a timeout. We come back. We keep rolling. We got you guys on the phone lines. We'll go to you guys when we come back, and we'll keep on rolling right here on the Miller's Edge.
On mensclinic.com and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to primetimemensclinic.com.
From our home base in Birmingham, Alabama,
we are here
treating patients from every generation
across the United States
and from around the world.
We're here for the rookies
and the dreamers
trying to make a name for themselves.
We are here for the achievers
who are resilient
and won't take no for an answer.
We're here for the coaches,
athletic trainers, and mentors
who are shaping the next generation of legends.
We are here for you,
aggressively pursuing
victory over injury.
Learn more at andrewsportsmedicine.com.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports.
The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs. Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show
is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast
on 95.3 The Bear and Sports
6829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
This is Miller's Edge on Tide 100.9.
Thursday edition of Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC, presented by the Good Feet Store, America's arch support experts. All right, let's see. I know we had a number of people on the phone lines, and I apologize. We've been leaning into the guests. You guys told me you really enjoy us getting people on here, so I've been making an effort to do that for you guys. Unfortunately, you know, the result of that is not as much time always to go to the phone lines. We got some time here, so what we'll do is I don't know who's still hanging on the line, but we'll check to see who's there, and I'm probably going to have to probably put a timer at like 2.5-3 minutes per call. That way we can squeeze some of these in. So without further ado, let's do that. First up, I believe we might have Steven, but that was a while ago. I don't know if Steven's still on there. Trace, can we see if Steven's still with us? Steven, you there? Oh, he had to drop. Okay, all right, good deal. All right, we got Ragged. We'll take Ragged real quick, and then we'll go back to just kind of break some of this stuff down. We'll get Ragged on here for a few minutes. Ragged, are you with us?
Hey, will the real Shim Shady please stand up? Please stand up. Oh, man, I tell you, Slim Slady, I thought that was rather cool. Hey, what an icebreaker. It's been a minute for you and I.
Absolutely.
A long minute. Yeah. Hey, you know what? Your defense, and we're going to talk X's and O's. You know, I know you feel like I'm the biggest Alabama cheerleader there ever was, but it's okay because I want to talk X's and O's. Do you feel that if we remove this, what's his name, Patrick Surtain, out of the offense, if we remove him out from the tier, who would you paste on him? Because I already have a defensive player that took Coleman out of the game in the Iron Bowl.
I might have misunderstood you, Reg. So you said when you said Pat Surtain?
We've got Surtain, Oklahoma's, you know, wonder boy, you know.
Are you talking about the receiver?
Yes.
Satega?
I think he's a receiver, and he's also special teams. But I'm just saying, if we take him out of the offense, what is left for Mateer to do?
I got you. Okay, so I think it's pronounced like Satanga, but I got you. Sorry, when you said Pat Surtain, I was thinking of my former teammate. I was like, man, is he got some kin over there? I wasn't familiar with that, but yes. Satanga, no, if you take him out of the equation, last time we played these guys, I thought he had more of an impact, which he definitely had an impact, right? I mean, he's credited for that rush for like 21 yards, I believe, then four receptions for 26. He didn't light up the stat sheet, but he is heavily involved in their offense. If you take him out of the equation, I mean, listen, they've been trying to run the football a little bit more. I know we just talked with Rodney, and he said they've struggled with it, which they had. But going into the game against us, they had made a change at running back. They had one of their younger guys playing, and he had two back-to-back 100-yard games. So I think they'll stick to trying to get him the ball. I can't remember his name off the top of my head. I'm trying to find it. It was Robinson, yeah. I believe it was Robinson. But we did a great job against him. I mean, he only had 10 carries for 34 yards. Two games before that, he had back-to-back 100-yard games. So I just think, really, the way their offense works, Ragged, is, I mean, you got a lot of quick game, screen game, and you see John Mateer running a lot of RPO, you know, tight reads and using his legs. So if you take him out of it, I think you see probably a couple more carries by Mateer, and then they still are going to work their screen game because that's just what they like to do. They don't really try to air it out or spread the ball around. They will at times, which, you know, he's due for a good throw here or there, but that's not really what they want to do consistently, at least. He was 15 and 23 last time. It's very efficient, again, because a lot of those are quick, short passes, whether it's screen or just quick game. And that's just kind of how they attack you. So really defensively, man, you're not really geared up to go, you know, get after it, you know, because they're not doing this typical drop back. You just got to be ready to turn, get out the stack, you know, chase things down, tackle well in the perimeter. That's a big deal. Tackle well in space and make sure you contain John Mateer and his running ability.
I think we got that covered. But who would you paste on Surtain?
How about
Xavion? Is he healthy enough, Xavion Brown?
Yeah, they're healthy. But you know, in college, Ragged, there's not many, you know, coordinators that utilize systems that you know put certain guys on certain players. That's just not in the NFL. You see a lot more of it. You'll have your best cover corner, and you might be playing against, you know, Stephon Diggs or Justin Jefferson. You might have a guy travel, right? You don't really see that in college a whole bunch, and I can just tell you we don't do that here. So it's really just, you know, field boundary type deal, you know what I mean, that you'll see. So whatever side he's lined up, you know, that whoever's on that side, that's probably what they're getting, or whoever's in the nickel might be on him. So you're going to see a number of guys with that responsibility. But there's not just one player that will be locked on him. But if I had to choose, so just hypothetically speaking, maybe – Xavion Brown would probably be my choice for that. But I will also say Red Morgan I like a lot because he's probably one of our best players in terms of tackling in space. Woo. And they like getting this guy the ball quick.
Oh.
Yeah, and he's physical, right? Now, I don't know about the coverage piece. Definitely Xavion Brown 100%. Xavion Brown's physical too, by the way. But I like the way Red Morgan plays in terms of tackling and making those open field tackles. So, yeah. Either one of those guys. Reg, we only got a couple minutes, man. So unfortunately,
no worries. You're gonna have to keep it going. Go ahead. And thank you for answering it.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for calling, man. Great to hear from you. I hope all is well with you and Julene.
You know what? All is well here. And mom is coming home from the hospital before Christmas. So hallelujah there. But thank you, Christian. It's been a minute, man. And I have a belated birthday and a Christmas present for you. I just don't know how to get it to you.
Oh, no, you don't have to do that. I promise.
I don't, but I have it here because it's not going to do me any good. It's just for you.
Well, thank you. Well, I think you can always, I think, drop it off or send it if that's easier, whatever is easier. I think like to the radio station, I can always try to figure out the best way to just swing by and grab that. So yeah, if you really insist, but I promise you don't have to, but thank you. I appreciate you being so thoughtful and thinking of me.
We love you and your father. So you guys have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much, Ragged All Low. We appreciate that. Good deal. All right, Chase, we only got a couple minutes left, and it looks like the other ones dropped, which is no big deal. I apologize. They're sitting on there for a while. But we got a couple not at messages, but some of these chat messages we can hit real quick. Actually, no, we do have an at message. Let's do that. That way we can stay up to date on that. I think we just got one, and it's from GDR and Jasper. He says, the Michigan forums and the media will not let it die. How about we just win so they can move on to Dillingham? Well, I feel like if we do win this game, Chase, and he's referring to the conversation we initially started with, you know, the whole Kalen DeBoer talk still going around. I think if you win this football game, it definitely kills that talk alive. And here's why. I think Michigan's going to have, they're in a little bit of a time crunch. They're not just going to be sitting around waiting. And again, my thought on this whole thing is there's still strong interest probably from Michigan's end. I don't think they're just going to take his answer and be like, all right, yeah, we're done. He said, nah, he's not talking to anybody. He's happy here. I don't think they're going to just sit there and take that for an answer. But I think what happens is over time, when time kind of starts dwindling down, he will eventually say, and not he will, but they will eventually say, all right, well, we got to make a move, right? And we can't just sit here and wait on one guy. Does that sound probably about right to you, Chase?
Yeah, 100%. I just, I don't know. I think it's more of where do we go from here? You know, because why are we putting so much emphasis on that when it really should be on like Oklahoma? I think a lot of people should be real take a notice of how different they're going to be. And I'm afraid to say this, but I'm going to go with Oklahoma in this one. I think Oklahoma really shows that if it wasn't, and I know Wyatt had said this yesterday, I think it was yesterday, day before, but Mateer was the odds-on favorite to win the Heisman. You know, he had did what he had to do. I think Texas was in that campaign at that time, but I just feel like with the weather, right, with the stipulation of there's no bowl game if they lose.
That's kind of
like
weird.
I feel like Oklahoma has Alabama on their heels, and you look at how Alabama has performed these past three games. If I'm an Alabama fan, I'm a little concerned of what I've been seeing on the field. Yes, there has been injuries, Christian, and they've had to play from behind, but if you put those injuries away and you match up with what you've got, are you still that confident that it can go that far? Because even without the injuries in the first half of the season, people were still scratching their head a little bit, a la Florida State, then just a little bit with Georgia. So there's still some deficiencies, I feel, that are going to show up against Oklahoma. And to do it against a coach like Brent Venable, who does not shy away from what he does, and he does so well, his defense. He harps on it. It's just who he is, whether it was at Oklahoma or Clemson or prior to that, he breeds defense, and you'll see that this weekend.
Dang, so Chase jumping the gun. Chase said, man, he's definitely thinking it's going to be a strong Oklahoma performance. We'll definitely see. We'll talk a little bit more about it tomorrow. We'll take those predictions officially tomorrow, but we got to get out of here for now. And I'll stay behind on the stream just for a second real quick, answer any final questions we have here. But in terms of Tide 100.9, that'll do it for us today. Big thanks to everybody, our guests, former Oklahoma running back Rodney Anderson, former Alabama wide receiver Slade Bolden, all our fine folks listening via Tide 100.9, all our folks over on YouTube, Facebook, all that, man. We appreciate all your support, and especially all of our folks with the Super Chats. Seriously, thank you guys. Adam, Superfly, Dom, everybody that contributed. Hopefully I did not forget one, but I appreciate all you guys for that. And we will see you guys tomorrow right here on the Miller's Edge, Tide 100.9, 1230 WTBC.